Hey guys, it's your favorite sisters with the Confessions of a Reluctant Caregiver show on UK Health Radio. On the show, you'll hear caregivers confessing the good, the bad, and the completely unexpected. You're guaranteed to relate, be inspired, leave with helpful tips and resources, and of course, laugh. Now, let's get to today's confession.
Don't start it. I know you're going to do it. You're going to start singing.
What?
I know. I went ahead and just jumped in as the podcast started. I was like,
Everybody has no clue what you're doing.
I know. I jumped in.
And they're like, look at JJ talking.
I know. Right off the bat, they were like, is this Confessions of a Reluctant Caregiver?
It sure as heck is. And I'm going to say, good morning. Good morning. It's great to see you. Love you. Good morning. Good morning to you. George has no clue that I love to sing on the podcast.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to start doing that. Like, I'm going to be like, stop.
Everybody's going to be like, oh gosh, I can't listen to this.
Was that JJ?
That was
I would have brought my guitar. If I had known, I would have brought my guitar.
Oh, look, yes.
We have another, have a man.
There's a boy in
there. There's a boy.
Jay, I am so excited because we have our bestie, our brother in care here today to talk with us, to talk about his caregiving journey with his mom, Sharon. Yes. And Jay, I'd love for you to tell everyone about George.
Hey guys, I get to talk again. I'm so excited. So today, Natalie, we have somebody really special, and you've already told that it was George. And every person for us is special because we can relate to everyone because they're caregivers. But George shares a pain and he shares a battle that we share with Parkinson's disease with his mother, Sharon. He cared for his mother and he has extended into her legacy with Together for Sharon, that foundation. I call it a movement because, George, it is a movement. But today we're here to talk about George as a male caregiver, and they are a hidden tribe of men out there that we're working to really shine a light on. George, we are so happy to have you here with us today.
We should probably say George's last name because he's like Madonna.
He is. This is Dr. George Ackerman. Now, George is a New York native. However, he lives in Florida. Natalie says she's going to live with him because him and his wife and his kids because he's in Florida.
That, I mean, might as well. Yeah. George is like welcoming everybody,
yeah,
right, George?
So he is. So, but we need to, you know, Natalie says you were born and so you were in New York and then somehow you ended up in Florida. So yeah, there's kind of the story right there, but kind of tell us a little bit. We need a little background here, George.
Give us some backstory about
Backstory about your life.
Thank you both. I just want to thank you and your family and all your viewers for giving me the opportunity. It means the world to us. My background is I'm from Brooklyn, New York. Grew up. My mother really was my hero and inspiration. She not only my best friend, but always there by my side. And she, unfortunately, was divorced with my father in a good way. If it didn't happen and she didn't take that leap to Florida, I would never have met my wife and my support and my kids. So I really thank her for that, too, even though that wasn't the topic. But, you know, she built something in a family. She had a master's in psychology. She was a school teacher, but she actually sacrificed everything to help me, my brother, you know, raise us. So that's where the drive, I guess, comes from today, where I don't want to give up in her memory, and I wouldn't be the man I am today, or even the male caregiver, if it wasn't for her sacrifice.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so
did you hear it, Natalie?
So you have a brother. He has a brother. Yes. So there's two of them. So George, are you the oldest or the baby?
Yeah, the oldest. I'm the one, unfortunately, that really took the burden of most of the caregiving and stepped up. My brother wasn't able to, but whenever I'm faced with any adversity or challenge in my life, I fight back, as you can probably see. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something my mother instilled in me. But throughout my life, I started off my career before the world of caregiving as a lawyer. Became a lawyer in D.C. and Florida, passed the bar there, federal Florida. And I always had a passion for helping victims of crime. So I did an internship at the prosecutor's office. But I found that just so many cases, we didn't have time to like sit down with family members. So I was upset. I decided to kind of go in a different world and went inside to the police field, became a police officer, went through the Miami Academy, which was really rough because I was kind of the trainee, which I hate, and a lawyer. So that was double boom.
Wait a second, George. So you have to understand, I am a total interrupting cow, and I'm sure our audience hates that. I'm sitting here like, okay, you're an attorney. Were you a public defender? What was the attorney? What was the subject?
I was on the prosecution side, but I did do defense after I left there. there, and I was an intern, so I didn't actually, I saw how it was. It wasn't, you know, you're sitting knee to knee with criminals in prison, and actually I'm a professor too, we'll get to, but I teach individuals in jail to get their degrees, because going from prosecutor, I was really, and again, no offense, but I was pro-police and everything. I didn't think they could do wrong. Then being a in the defense, I did white-collar crime. I did see the need for both sides and how important it was. And then also going into the police field, it opened my eyes. Unfortunately, again, you have to hand a brochure to victims and move on. Just don't have time. So that's where I was kind of in a struggle, because I really wanted to help victims, but I couldn't. Those, for me, wasn't the way to do it. So thankfully, I fell into education, and I became a professor, and I did my PhD in criminal justice. I'm not a medical doctor. I only play one on TV. But so the nice thing is I was able to finally find what my dream was. And I sat knee to knee with African-American mothers who lost their loved one due to murder in West Palm Beach, Florida. Mm. My entire 300-page, you know, dissertation was how to reintegrate the family members of loved ones back into society. And they're often thought of as secondary victims. And that, again, correlates, in my opinion, to the Parkinson's community. Because as both of you and all the listeners who are aware of Parkinson's, the government here in the U.S. really hasn't really given any care, in my opinion, or maybe they just didn't have knowledge in the Parkinson's community. And thankfully, last December, they passed through the House the first ever national plan to end Parkinson's disease. And that really changed history going forward. But again, the Parkinson's community, and even myself, I'm sure you might feel, I feel left out a lot. And that's why I fight today as a caregiver, but from caregiver to advocate, because there's so many people like both of you who I feel have become like family, who I spend more time with than my family. And I get yelled at about that. But, you know, everyone's got a purpose. And I'm just going to keep fighting for those who are diagnosed today, those caregivers like both of you who are still caring. And now, again, I'm shifting a little bit, not forgetting, but shifting to people like me, who are caregivers, unfortunately, who lost a loved one due to Parkinson's. And there's really millions of people like me. Unfortunately, a lot of people kind of move on, which is okay, and get back to life. But I can't move on, because I feel like my mother, in a way, was robbed of a lot of her life living and after.
I hear you, George. And I'm going to tell everybody, like, if you don't follow George on LinkedIn or Facebook or all of his social media platforms, he's everywhere. He is super passionate. But I'm going to force George to go back. We're going to push him back. And so it was very interesting to me that you said, I went from being an attorney to then you went to be an officer in Miami. And you sort of seem like a Northerner, George. I mean, I don't know if you know that or not. Your accent is really not Miami. And then the fact that you
I don't go to the beach. I don't even go to the beach.
No, I don't want to say that, like, you and JJ don't go to the beach.
George and I could definitely be like family, because we have about the same complexion, you know? So.
My wife's Cuban, and I love the Cuban world and the whole, you know, culture, and they don't look like me.
They're just looking at your wife. You're like, he's nice. And she's like, yeah, I know. And your wife is, and George's wife is beautiful. She's.
I hope one day you'll get to speak to her, but she actually said she married me for my resume.
Oh, now we're getting the true story of George. Here it is. Now George is coming.
The red hair, which I was happy. I didn't, usually they say tall, dark, and handsome, and I'm left out of that.
This is true, George.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, okay, George, I mean, you know, I think it was interesting that you said that, you know, it sounds like you're a little bit pro-divorce. I hate to say that in your family, but you're right. Had your mom not moved and taken you down to Florida, your path might have gone a little differently had you stayed a Northerner.
I'm not pro-divorce. I've actually took that course in law school, and it destroys families. So I'm for marriage.
Oh, no. I meant you were pro-divorce personally, right. Potentially for your mom and your dad. That's all.
Luckily,
I'm saying.
My mother, I mean, my wife and I are 12 years almost strong. So
I love that.
And she, again, maybe we'll get to it, but she was the only way I made it through, you know, the tough times and caregiver world. And you don't take a course for that. I wasn't prepared for it. I might have a lot of school, but I didn't know. You know, I don't want to curse the damn thing about, you know, taking care of anyone, let alone my own mother, who is my best friend.
So you're down in Florida, you're with your family, you've grown up, you've done all these wonderful things. And I know for us with our mom started showing signs of Parkinson's at 48. So what were the first signs for you and your brother that, what, tell us a little bit about the little bit back there and then of course how that impacted you.
Yeah, a quick note. I wasn't an officer in Miami. I became an officer through the academy there. Mm-hmm. And then also Together for Sharon is in the foundation. My goal is not to become one. I really just wanted to be one son and one voice, just trying to change the world. And everything that's donated, we don't accept donations or anything. It goes to other organizations, and maybe later we'll talk on that. But
sure.
My goal today is just to send love and support, and I don't want anything in return, no money, nothing. So that's important for me. And but just to get back to your question, it's she had it for 15 years, but part of my struggle even today is that she didn't tell us really much about it until it took over the last 4 years. Okay. She was an incredible independent woman, didn't really want to burden us with things. Even today, you'll laugh, but I tell people, she would say right now, my advocacy, George, stop doing it, go spend time with your family. And she'd be laughing because that's just how she was. She really was about family and just loved life. She was loved fitness and things. And so the last 4 years, I saw her go from someone who could walk a few miles to the cane for 2 years, then a walker, then a wheelchair, then bedbound. And I can't even explain still today to my kids, you know, what happened to their grandmother. But the first signs really for me, and again, thankfully, in the future, my book is finally coming out. And one of the chapters is called First Sign. So maybe sometimes I don't have the time because I really want to touch on everything, but that'll really go in depth on everything. But around maybe 6 years before, she had stiffness in her left arm, mm-hmm. and she couldn't really eat when we ate out. So sometimes we had to help her. But it wasn't something that changed her life. She was still able to be independent, still drive, still live alone, still have a friend. And so she really must have suffered a lot and didn't tell us. Also, not sure how, if she was, you know, diagnosed too late, if she was, you know, even misdiagnosed, or she just, again, didn't want to tell me. But I don't regret anything. I don't think I could have changed anything different. At the point I came involved, though, she was going through a study, and that was like the last hope. We tried 15 doctors, you name it, from therapy to even got a license to medical marijuana, which you two probably love that story, seeing a cop going into a store. I was looking at the video cameras, petrified.
They'll know I'm in here. Will I get fired? You know, George, let me ask you this. How old was your mom when her first symptoms started coming on?
This is the fun part again. I mean, that's not the fun part, but I need your help. But she was 69, unfortunately, when she passed on 1/1/2020. So if you minus that by 15, that's approximately one when. But I'm not a mathematician, so we won't.
No, but that's not far. But here's the thing, George. I mean, that's not far off from our mom. Our mom is 69 right now. Yeah. And so mom was 48 when the symptoms started and 52 when she was diagnosed. Okay. That you're very similar track. I mean,
54.
Our mom.
That was 54, basically. 15 years prior to her death.
Yeah, what is a constant struggle for me still, even as a caregiver or advocate, is that I still don't understand what happened, because we were told by 20 doctors, you don't die of Parkinson's, you die with it. My mother had no other health issues, but back quickly. So besides that, then she started, not for a while, but last 4 years she went for a trial. And I don't say names and things because I don't blame doctors. I blame the disease. But she came home that day, and I don't know if they drastically changed her medicine, but I found her at 4 a.m. I rushed over, and she was moving her furniture out of her house at 4 a.m. And she thought there were Nazis inside that were going to harm her. And that's where we think we found out she had late onset dementia and the hallucinations. Mm. And she had a UTI, and I rushed her to the hospital, and they said we saved her life. But in a way, that was when her life started to go
downhill
those 4 years. And also, forget that horror image, but one of the worst memories, which I can't get, it's ingrained in my brain, not to be negative, but I always find the light and the darkness that we'll get to. But I went to her house to pick up some clothes. And as you all probably use, you know, we have these post-it notes that we use to remind. Well, she had the room, like almost like the movie Beautiful Mind, all over the room with names of animals and people who weren't in reality there anymore. And I'd never seen anything like that before. And that's, again, something that keeps me up at night and makes me keep wanting to fight for those like your family and people like your mother. And I'll never stop till we find a cure.
I know that hurts my heart. I see JJ tearing up right now. No, George, it's totally fine, because the thing is that this is the thing that is so hard about Parkinson's or about dementia or Alzheimer's, or I think about my friend who's in his 40s who has ALS. We have these very cruel diseases that take our loved ones it feels like it destroys them, and we feel helpless. And I don't know about you, George, I feel very helpless. And I felt helpless with my husband when he had cancer and I couldn't do anything except watch. And we feel helpless with our mom. And that's overwhelming, because helplessness then leans at times to guilt. Did you experience any of that feelings of helplessness and any amount of guilt for not being able to do something? I mean, you sound like a doer, George.
My mother was a planner, and she was incredible. She planned, end of life topics that everyone doesn't like to discuss, the tough topics, but we had, I was her power of attorney at some point. We had the will, and she even did her own funeral, but not planning for Parkinson's, because again, we were told that was not possible. But I went through every emotion from grief, sadness, depression, anger, feeling like quitting. The biggest thing that haunts me still is holding her hand and her looking at me and saying she wants to be there for her granddaughter Brooke's wedding. And I didn't know what to say. And even now, it's hard for you to hear this. I have trouble even 4 years later talking about it. Actually, I'm strong here. I'm 6'2", 200-pound police, law enforcement reserve. But I'll go in the office with my wife after and fall apart. It's just not easy. And I had an honor a month ago to meet Mr. Michael J. Fox. And that was a touching story. But when I met him, it was, it's like when your life flashes by. It was such a great feeling. But it was almost like amazing, but at the same time, I saw my mother in him, because now a week or two since today, he actually had to be wheelchaired out on stage to an award he won. So that was, it's a battle of inner emotion. Even still today, I don't have answers, which stinks. And I just keep fighting again for other people who might not have a voice, and those who we've lost who still have a voice. And I just posted last night, which some of my next book, which we're not going to get to, is really to fight for those who haven't, they still have a voice. I feel like my mother still matters, and my journey hasn't ended yet until we find a cure for others. But sometimes we're left out of the table in the conversation, which might be the name, maybe.
And Jay, I'm going to take a quick break for our first commercial break, and we'll be right back because we want to keep following up with George.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk. UK.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming back. We are here today with George Ackerman, and he is sharing his caregiving story about his mother and about his journey of caring for her with Parkinson's. And George, I'm going to jump in because something that's really touching me, I've already teared up. Natalie saw me and she's like, I'm going to cover for this because JJ is really getting it.
No covering. Tears are welcome here.
Something.
I'm trying to get you laughing.
It's a prior laugh thing. Something that really gets me, George, and you're part of our male caregiving
series. I'm not going to get upset now because I'm going to talk. But there are several times during this podcast that you've said one of the worst times, one of the hardest times. And when you talk about the, when you talk about the room that has all the post-it notes, when you talk about those things that you can't get out of your mind, those are the things I feel like I have those memories of mom when I went to pick her up, when I had to drive in about 5 hours and she was in the state of a psychosis. Her doctors had over-medicated her. And when I got there, she wouldn't talk to me. She would only chew on a pencil. And how important, I guess, how important do you feel like it is for people to talk about that, to share that? Because I feel like if you hold that in, if you don't share that, that's when you can really be overwhelmed. That's when the depression and you really, how important do you feel that is for men to share that story?
Yeah, it's very important. And it's funny in a way, because until a month or two ago, I knew somebody approached me about a male caregiving event. And I didn't even know what they were talking about, because I never even realized, I never thought, second thought about, like, if my mother needed me, I wouldn't be there. I did have a weird, ironically, a nurse once tell me towards the end of my mom's life, we had hospice, but like for a year, it was like a long-term thing. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, you're doing amazing. I said, what are you talking about? And the nurse said, well, most families, unfortunately, can't do, you know, what I'm doing and won't be there as much. Some of them even have a home in a different state that life brings to you. And I'm like, are you serious? I never even heard of that. And then only a month or two, literally from we're speaking, somebody asked me to speak at a male conference. And I'm like, I'd love to, but I didn't even know that this is an issue. And now it was a chapter also, or piece in my book, because I think more men have to stand up. I'm proud of being a mama's boy. And this is not a day that doesn't go by. Like I said, we spoke 10 times on the phone if I couldn't see her, but she was by my side at law school graduation. The police, I have a photo you'll see maybe I put up of me and my mother, my first police job in my new uniform. And she didn't want me to be an officer ever. And she told me to quit every day. And thankfully, in a way, she didn't make it to COVID and what happened after, the whole world was, she wouldn't have made it through that either, I think. But I think it's very important to talk about. I feel like I'm grieving, and you two help me more than you'll ever know. And I don't want to start joining you on a Barbara Walters minute. this is real life stuff. I mean, my mother, to me, her memory's still alive, but we have an empty seat at the holiday tables, and that's not easy. My daughter was 7 at that point, and she's now 11, and, I try to tell the 3 kids all about her. My littlest one was a 1 or 2. He won't even honestly know her or remember her. And I'm actually going to work on a kid's book in the future, because I had trouble. I already wrote it just to get the right, illustrator, but I didn't know how to explain this one specific time to talk about a tough time. My mother, my daughter Brooke, she was about 7. And we were sitting on a Sunday on her bed, just visiting her, because her only moments that she loved still even due to Parkinson's and the toughest time was when the grandkids were there, because although she didn't want to live with us at the point, because she didn't want to hear them screaming all day, she loved when they did run over, and we even put a little playroom for them, and there was toys a mess, like a disaster, and we're all neat freaks, so that was trouble. So we're sitting there, my mother starts hugging her, her quilt, and saying how much she loves Brooke, and Brooke looked at me and like kind of giggled, but didn't in a weird way, because like confused, and I didn't have anything to say, because I didn't know what the heck to say or what was going on, but it was the delusions. My mother thought her, quilt was my daughter, and she was hugging her. So those are the stories that come out. And if you don't talk about them, then we can never really resolve our own inner issues with this. But also, again, the whole entire chapter is called The Final Year. And that was, something I can't even describe, but I did keep a journal. And I'm not really like a journaler, but I posted on social media, not as much now. And I even had some weird challenges. Somebody actually, I'm writing about this, told me that my mother didn't pass and I'm not really a person. I guess they were victims of some kind of scam, even in 9/11 and sad, horrific times people take advantage of people. But that was like another, like a whack-a-mole thing hitting me. My mother had just passed a few weeks prior, and there's some strangers saying that I'm not real. So, we have challenges, but I think no matter what, like a person like that or they'll never stop me to advocate for others. And you have to talk about the stories to go back to what you're saying, but you're going to see, and you might not want to read it. It's not going to be a book for everyone, which I don't mind because that's not what I'm doing it for, but it'll take you literally through the last year. I put dates, times, my mother calling me, screaming that someone's harming her, but they weren't. I had to install video cameras on my police side throughout our house because we had, I didn't want her to be in a home because we swore we wouldn't. And there were times where we had I don't call them caregivers. They were more like people, like babysitters. It cost me $12,000 a month to have her deaf 24/7 because she didn't sleep. The medicines were destroying her stomach. Mm-hmm. So anyway, back to me, and it was just so much for me to deal with. So we moved her closer. I hired these people, but I had to go through like 10 different organizations, fire mm-hmm. thousands, because no one knew, they didn't know what Parkinson's was. One dragged my mother out of the house to our house to get some. It was just some of the, and then, so I'm sitting there like trying to work, you know, have my family and make sure my mother's safe. And my dream and goal is that she didn't fall, because if you fall, it's just an added end. It's like, so all this was going on. And so I, again, documented it all and put it in, it's weaved throughout the book, and just something for people who don't know what it is and, you know, aren't ready for that to know if they really want to. So it's going to be a book where it's really happy and thing, but there's a chapter, you know, you need to see, but you might not want to, because that's why I think sometimes I'm shunned or, in my opinion, isolated, because there are people who have Parkinson, people currently caregiving, but the ones who are lost and to me still matter, but we are a segment, I think, that are forgotten. And some people like that because they want to move on, but I'm not one of them. I fight until, you know, we find a cure for everyone else.
Right. So, George, you just mentioned three things, and I know Natalie and I probably caught it. You're working, you're married, and you have children, and also you're taking care of your mom. So,
and we throw in one more, which isn't fun, but I'm actually having a third spine surgery on May 21st, so I have a lot of, that might be a book in the future, but I don't know. Unfortunately, I have major back issues that have debilitated my life, and no reason why. I don't have an exciting police chase or some kind of
nothing exciting related to it.
Just woke up at 8. I woke up at 42, and I was a basketball player, but woke up at 42 and couldn't get out of bed. And I've had two foul, like didn't work. This is the last shot. If it doesn't work, which I'm going to be positive, I'm going to look into the stimulator thing. But you know, I have no time for that. I want to dedicate my time to all of you.
But let's go back when you were.
Oh, you did say you wanted me to hear about me.
So no, that is about you. But I want you to jump back and tell me about that.
Sure.
When you're taking these last years for your mom, and you've got all this time, tell me about also during that time emotionally taking that time for your family, your marriage. Tell me about what's going on with you mentally. Physically.
Yeah. I mean, I have two chapters that are going to be on my partner and my wife and my children, because without them, I wouldn't have been here today, probably. I mean, I'm not that, dangerous to myself and things of that nature, but I could see people getting to that point. My mother wasn't just a person. She was my best friend. I mean, I remember, this is a funny story, a good memory. I don't even think I mentioned it, which I wish, I hate when you have a book and then you want to go back, but I can't. So my dream was to have a Corvette, and I finally was able to afford one. It was a blue, like baby blue, like I have the pants on, like even my Natalie shirt. And it was like a dream. So I took it. I never used it because I just always wanted one. It died a few times in the garage because I worked a lot. So I started taking my mother on like mom and son dates. So we'd go once a month. And thankfully, I was in South Florida. So I took her to some of the most beautiful hotels, like in Miami and Epic and things like that. And it was just like so much fun. So the first thing is my mother, when I met my wife, she's like, oh, no, there goes our date. But my wife and my mother became like instantly best friends too, which was a dream because, you know, some families, it's not that easy, I guess. Right. But so what we did is even when I met my wife, we started dating, we took my mother with us on the date. We couldn't use the Corvette anymore.
It's a two-seater.
Yeah.
My wife was really my support. I even went to psychology and things, but it wasn't for me. But I'm honored and really grateful that I have someone that, like you will have, hopefully your sisters, and that's a huge sisterhood. I don't really have a with the brotherhood. And my brother is amazing, but he just wasn't able for whatever reason to do much at all, even today.
So does your brother live in Florida?
Yeah, he does, but he has his own life and his own things.
Sure.
He wasn't really even mentally, you know, this is a lot of mental health, this topic, whether male or female caregiver. I mean, you could lose your sanity. I think I might have at some points where I wanted to just give up and put her in a home. And I even told my wife, we have to look. I can't take it because I'm not trained. I'm not, seeing your loved one kind of deteriorate in a sad way is horrifying. So maybe some thought in my head is if you put her in a home, you don't have to deal with it. But I didn't want to do that because I wanted to know where she was, how she was, and make sure she wasn't in harm. We had video cameras, like I said, when she said she was being harmed. Thankfully, she wasn't. But I did catch an aide neglecting her. At night, she didn't sleep due to the medicines were destroying her gut. And I remember her getting up and screaming for help just to go to the bathroom, and no one came. So we fired that person the next morning. There's just so many challenges. And even today, reliving them is not the simplest thing.
No, that Jay, we need to take one more break.
All right.
And we'll be right back with George.
All right.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living. A people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
We are back with George Ackerman, and we are talking about his family life during the care for his mom, because George is married, was married during that time as well, worked, and also had children. So a true life of a caregiver, Natalie. You know,
it's exactly the life of a caregiver, because we typically are not, we're just not independently wealthy sitting over here eating bonbons waiting for our caregiving to stop. Yeah. I don't know about you, George, but I don't just sit around eating bonbons. I am working full time. And I'm assuming you're working.
I'm more into life. Oh, there you go.
I love that. Oh, George is going to let out his guilty confession at some point. Yeah. So I think, you know, how much time, so you're going over, it sounds like you're going over and you're seeing your mom every day. You have an army of people who, it sounds like, kind of supporting her. So because she never moved in with you, she wanted to remain in her own home, but you moved her closer. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, we bought a home. She lived in Boca Raton, Florida, which was only 10 minutes, but I bought a beautiful brand new home, like literally from scratch. And we wanted her to pick it out. It was like a dream for a son to buy your mother a home and have no, for her to have no mortgage, nothing. Unfortunately, she was so, you know, I remember the day, I have a picture of her, so I light her. Life, like her face lit up in joy when she walked in. It was brand new, sparkling, because I think, and they don't have facts, but I think she gained Parkinson's due to the environment in her old house. She had a nice house, but didn't really keep it up. She had mold and termites and nothing against her, but that stuff and who the heck knows what they sprayed definitely did something, because she was very healthy. She had no other issues medically at all. Mm. So I'm a big believer of the environment. And now you can see cases like the Paraquai and all these, the water and Camp Lejeune. It's horrible. And the government needs to step in and do more. They're just not. So, you know, we moved her to a home community over so I could rush over if she needed me. And then we actually decided, like the last year, to sell that and bring her to my house where I live now. Unfortunately, she never made it. And there's a room here that's literally was for her. And every time I walk through that by that room, it's, you know, not easy still. I'll probably have to live with that forever. And just ironically, our both communities touch. although they're different, it's the same street that you could have gone right straight to her house. Mm. So it's, you know, every day I'm kind of reliving it. And I'm the kind of person, no offense to anyone, but when you break up with someone, when you're in the dating world, you throw all their stuff out and vanish. You pretend like you never met.
So you Angela Bassett, your exes, and you burn without everything. The minus the violence, right?
Without the arson and the crime.
That's good, George. That's a good thing.
I can't do that. Obviously, I still have my mother, some of her amazing, memorable things. But one aspect that I don't want you to think about, but that's really tough, is I call it the aftermath. You know, after, I mean, we were shocked when she passed because it wasn't expected. And I'm still shocked because they told us she won't. So, you know, cleaning out her house, selling it, things like that were torture because it was during COVID. Oh, yeah. And no one was buying homes. So this kind of dragged on for a month. Wow. And I'm like, eventually, we just got rid of it. We didn't even care if it was for free. It was just heartbreaking. And that's another chapter I touch on. But, you know, like out of the darkness, unfortunately, brings a lot of good light. Meeting you two, become family, all your viewers and listeners and the people who have opened their arms to me. Of course, there are, you know, 1% that it's been tough. But, you know, I respect everybody's decision, privacy and things. But I've been on a different journey in a way. A year ago, I didn't realize there were about 1 million people in the U.S., but 10 million in the world. And that like kind of smacked me in the face. I didn't even think of the other world, rest of the world. So I was on a journey a year ago after I discovered an organization to make it not just about me and my mother, but everybody affected by Parkinson's. I really concentrated more on those diagnosed and caregivers today, lacking that I didn't even realize I forgot myself. And that's where I'm kind of not shifting, but moving now to the world of people like me who lost a loved one due to any disease. And their, you know, memory of their loved one, because they still matter.
No.
Tell me, George, about support during Parkinson's, because that's something I feel that it was missing. It continues to be missing now. And for people, tell me about Parkinson's specifically, support groups that you wish or that you found there in the Florida area, but that are nationwide as well. Like, what was missing and what do you wish you'd had? And then what's there now?
Yeah, I mean, I started togetherfisharound.com and I thought 4 or 5 people would see it, and it's a teeny counter. And we realized last week over 30,000 people have visited, but I didn't expect that. I think that's because people are looking for some help or someone like a voice for the voiceless. And I didn't find, like, I called a lot of people. Unfortunately, Michael J. Fox didn't have a presence in South Florida. I called a few others. The only one that did show is the American Parkinson's Disease Association, who we've donated about $16,000 the last 4 years from our own family and literally won nothing in return. But the reason it was tough, she showed up and she offered, you know, moving programs, but it was too late. But it meant a lot that they just showed up. Unfortunately, I didn't see much out there. It was all scattered, like a mess, like chaos, like because I was already going through chaos as a caregiver. I didn't know who to call. I called number, called this, support, nothing. And luck, that's why I decided to start it, because I put all those organizations for free on our site. It's under partnerships. I also don't know how I started my own podcast. We have 2 of them. Actually, there's more, but one is Q&A with Sharon's son, George, where I interview incredible people like both of you coming up about your experience and what you fought, your fight and your mother. And then we started the Together for Sharon podcast, where it's my wife and I. And that's really unique because it brings the female perspective, and I keep quiet a lot of times because I love when she doesn't have the time like me, or even kind of want it, because she's more, you know, with the kids. And but anytime I, even meeting Mr. Fox, Michael J. Fox, was her call. Like, I don't go out a lot to events because I'm just so busy. I'm a professor, I teach around the country, and that's my full-time career. So like, I don't have time to even go to the bathroom.
George doesn't get pee breaks either, Jay. Yeah, I totally relate.
Or even next time I'll have to do an eating lunch.
Right?
So, you know, so I wasn't going to go, but she looked at me and we both looked at each other and she said, just do it, because you never know. It might be a once in a lifetime. Unfortunately, he's not, you know, doing it well. And I'm so honored that I had that moment. But if it wasn't for her support, you know, I wouldn't be able to do that. There were many days where she wanted to be there with my mother, but I was alone and she was taking care of the family. And then there were times where, this is incredible. It's so amazing. And it's in my book. We wanted my mother, even for little teeny moments, to still feel like a person, because Parkinson doesn't define you. It's a disease that's horrible, but you can still do anything you can to fight it. And she actually brought like pedicures and girly manicures.
That's awesome.
And she brought like a hairdresser in. Some days she was too sick, but those days that she wasn't, she really loved it. And, you know, you just wanted to keep her comfortable, happy as much as we can. And just speaking about it, it's still baffling. I'm still confused as to what the heck happened. And, you know, all we could do is just keep her memory alive. And even if we reach one person today through your audience, you know, then we've changed the world for the better. And I don't consider this a podcast or a talk. it has to be a continual conversation that doesn't ever end until we find
it. You know, it sounds like you have, first of all, excuse me, Nellie, it sounds like you had a team with you, you know, and your wife was definitely the partner. But I also like that, you know, you talk about the girly stuff, that you were okay to step aside and say, okay, mom needs that. I'm going to bring in my partner because she knows about that stuff better, and that you were considerate to your mom's needs, because sometimes the guys don't know about everything. And I think about dad with mom and kind of, you know, he was like, maybe the girls need to take care of that. And I love that, George, that you were okay with that. You were like, I got to have a girl partner too. Sometimes I got to let somebody step in. I like that.
Well, and share the burden, because let's just be honest. Here's the thing, George. It's not that your mom was a burden, but caregiving itself is hard.
It's hard.
And so it can feel like, gosh, this is hard to carry. Not that you don't want to do it. And that's the thing that I think that we always talk about on the podcast. It's not that we don't want to do it. Some days I don't want to do it. I'm going to tell you, George, I didn't want to crawl under the stall at Walmart to help my mom because the floor was so nasty. But what was more important? Getting my coat completely disgusting, and I'm pretty sure I burned it, or help my mom. And so,
no, I'm burning things over there.
Burn the coat. The coat got burned.
I'm going to have to contact local.
We do burn a lot of stuff.
I'm not going to lie to you, but we're from Tennessee, George, and we like to burn some stuff.
I love Tennessee.
You know, but I think that's the important thing is that, you know, did you ever have those moments where you're just like, this is just too hard. I don't want to deal with this today. Not that you want to deal with your mom. It's, I don't want to deal with Parkinson's today.
Yeah. You bring up an important challenge for male side is even the bathroom. I didn't want, like we set a video, but obviously we never touched the bath. I didn't know what was going on there. I didn't want to, but you know, I put in like things to help her stand up you know, safety. We even bought I bought anything she wanted just to make her kind of comfortable. I bought a chair that helps her. She hated the chair. She hated the bed. She always told me a lot, but you know, so I faced a lot of challenges, not just as a caregiver, but specifically as a male. I don't think I had a team. I know it sounds interesting or odd, but I hired these people kind of like just to watch her, but I didn't trust one of them. They're strangers, you know, bringing a stranger. Many of them, some didn't speak English, which is very, so they bring more added challenges. My mother was scared of them, some of them. I don't know if she, you know, because you're living your whole life independent. Now you got these weird, and they rotate. So you had like four people. It was crazy and horrible. Thankfully and sadly, the last 6 months, we found two people who became like my heroes too, who updated the balloons. I don't know why that always happened.
Okay, that is hilarious.
Well, that was a good time.
Everybody missed it. There were balloons. Thankfully, found something. The balloons just fly up. Yeah.
No, because actually fits because the two people who towards the last end of her life she loved. So that was really because that actually helped me as a caregiver. I didn't have to call every. I mean, she was calling 1,000 times a day, complaining, worried, sad, frightened. I had to remove her last few months. She called the police in fear. We had to remove her phone at a certain point. And I'm a cop. She had a gun in the house. So I trained her because she lived female and living alone. I was scared she'd use it at me, God forbid. So there's a lot of things you don't even think about. Like you don't plan for that stuff. But there were a lot of challenges for a male side. But I think, again, for any caregiver. And I just love talking to you both because I have we could talk for 20 hours and you'll never want to talk to me again. So many, because also you all both hit on topics that I really want to talk about. And again, been on a lot of these, but it means the world to be able to talk about tough topics and bring out things that people really do want to hear.
Well, yeah, go ahead. It's interesting the things that we talk about though, George, and I don't think it even is just Parkinson's, but as people become more ill or if there's, you know, dementia or Alzheimer's, things like that, where you know, phones, you know, mom calls me constantly. And sometimes she does do the emergency call. And then she sends me the location where she is. Constantly.
She sends me the location too.
And I'm like,
George,
mom, I know where you are.
She never leaves that location.
Yeah, she never leaves.
We know where you're
she
at.
Accidentally does.
Luckily, my mother wasn't good at technology.
Oh, no. She sends it to me constantly. And I'm like, mom, please stop sending me your location. I absolutely know where you are.
Yeah, I would tell her to keep sending it, but it would break my heart. You know, I sacrificed her own health.
Yeah. You know, but same thing with firearms. She did have a firearm in her house. After dad passed, you know, I didn't really thought anything about it. But then there was that point where she was depressed. And I thought, you know what? First of all, you know, would she shoot me at some point? But, you know, she could harm herself. You know, I really started thinking about things like that. And you begin to get concerned about what things could she harm herself with? What could she get hurt with that she didn't mean to, you know, accidentally? Yeah. And there was a point where when she was living with Emily, the stove became a danger for her. And when you have to think about things like that, you know, no matter what the disease is, that becomes a hard place that becomes a scary time in any disease. I know that was a big decision for us, and having when we did have to place mom in skilled nursing, when you know that they've progressed that far. So I listened to your journey and I'm like, George is our heart, because there's so much of the story that's the same. It's very similar.
And just to add on that, driving is probably one of the most difficult things. Is again, here you have someone who's 60, let's say it's 4 at the time, 5, and you're taking away their power. Like I don't go anywhere with friends without driving. Even my wife gets mad because I want to be kind of in control of where we're going.
I don't see you being a control person, George.
Only driving. Yeah. My wife's the boss of everything else. She's in.
Oh, you've been married a long time. If you realize your wife's the boss.
But I think taking that away, you look at her and tell her and she's like crushed, but in a way it's for her own benefit and those around driving.
No, we totally can relate. I can't believe our time is almost up, Jay. But we have to get in our sister questions because these are the really juicy ones. Right.
I haven't slept over this.
You should be scared, but no, you really don't have to, because we're really sweet. JJ is, at least. And then we'll have folks stick around after the confession. So JJ, what is your question for George?
George, I want you, because I love the relationship that you had with your mom. Tell me a funny thing that happened with your mom as you guys went through the Parkinson's thing. Because I know I have a lot of funny stories with mom. Tell me one funny that happened with you guys during this time that's so difficult.
It's hard to narrow to one, but there were times with the hallucinations that she actually had good memories. Like she would laugh. I was sad when she said it, but she would laugh and say her mother is there and her father and my dog Teddy, and we would just laugh together. But in a way, it was not funny. That was one of the ones. At least she smiled. But one memory that really still thankful I have. She one snowstorm, and I don't want to get too far along, but one snowstormy day a week, we were canceled school when I was a kid, maybe 16. So I was bored out of my mind, driving my mother crazy. And she said, "Why don't you take guitar lessons?" And I said, "What guitar? What's that?" And so she had a cowboy guy come over and then a rock and roll, different types. And thankfully, 20 years later, I'm playing guitar. I live for music, but my mother as a child brought me to Broadway. So I love Broadway. I've seen every show, but we saw Cats together. One of her favorite songs was Memory, and I had the honor, and it's still hard to talk about it, and it was a positive memory, but we had music therapy for my mother, and some days, like everything else, was too tough, but for some reason, the week before she passed, and she wasn't speaking anymore, she wasn't able to, she was still kind of there, and we won't get to the last 7 days at the different podcast, but before the last week, I was able to sit down with the music therapist, and we videotaped us playing the song Memory for my mother from Cats, and my mother wasn't able to talk much anymore, but at the end of it, she says, "Thank you, I loved it." And those were the last words she ever said. And if you go to Together for Sharon, not to get a plug because I don't want anything, but .com, and you go to the bottom, I have to fix that whole ending. But if you go to the bottom, there's actually the video of us playing. You won't see my mother. I didn't want her in it because of her health, but you might not hear her, but you see us playing the song. And thankfully, I don't sing because I can't sing. That's one memory I never forget.
Okay, that is absolutely beautiful. Okay, so I've got one last question.
I wanted more.
We're going to go after there's the more confession. After don't worry, confession, we got more. So, right. We got more.
But wait, there's more.
So hold on. But here's my last question for this episode. George, what is your favorite guilty pleasure? The one thing that you do just for you, besides your Corvette, because my husband loves that.
I don't even see that. I mean, I love to work out. Unfortunately, I can't because of my back. But I mean, it's hard to say one. I mean, if you give me sushi, I like all you can eat sushi, and I can't stop myself. I get to the point where I'm sick.
they're all asking him like, "You go home. You need to go.
You've eaten all the sushi.
Stop eating our sushi."
I love work. I do qualify myself as a workaholic, which deteriorates my own health, but that's my pleasure, is kind of forget the world. Now it's writing, I did my dissertation, 300 pages. I can give it to both of you in the interview you want.
We're good. We'll take it.
I didn't want to write. Like, I swore I'd never go to school or write again. Here I am in school teaching, and I'm also writing, but I have a passion for that. And I think we all have an incredible voice. You two inspire me. Your family inspires me. Everything you both do is going to have a place at Together for Sharon for life. And I'm going to share it around the world. But I have one last thing. I always end everything, if you don't mind. This is to you, your family, and everyone listening. It's meant to inspire you. But we love you. We support you. We care a lot about you. And you're never alone. I will advocate, along with JJ, Natalie, and their family, for you. And together, our voices are so much stronger. And I always say in a kind of funny way, I'm just getting started. Because every day I wake up and see a new inspirational journey on my side or meet people like both of you and your family. It kind of almost like one of the, you know, AED, like, just regenerates me and makes me want to keep fighting. So I'm grateful for you too, your family, and everyone listening today. You're never alone in this.
We love you, George.
I love George. George is our official brother. We only have, I mean, even the dogs were girls in our house, George.
We love you, George.
Just FYI, you're official.
I'm the only guy that's not a dog.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for listening in. And we're going to tell you, stick around. If you don't subscribe to After the Confessions, definitely do. It's all kinds of good stuff. So until the next time we confess again, we'll see you then. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Well, friends, that's a wrap on this week's confession. Thank you so much for listening in on UK Health Radio. But before you go, please take a moment to leave us a review and tell your friends about the confession show. Don't forget, visit our website to sign up for our newsletter, sign up for the Sisterhood Advantage Club, and of course, connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, TikTok, and Twitter. You'll also find the video recording of all our episodes on the Confessions website and our YouTube channel. We'll see you next Tuesday when we come together to confess again. Till then, take care of you.